Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play.
Really wanted to come in here today and do a show on love. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. Best of luck to all of you throughout the course of the day. And that was going to be the theme of today's show. But today's show is hatred. Today's show is anger. Low versus Dibs. It got established yesterday. The wheels are in motion. If you thought we were goofing around, we are not. The one-on-one showdown that will take place at Chase Center Wednesday, February 26th, less than 2 weeks away, has now been dubbed, get this, the Disgrace at Chase. The Disgrace at Chase.
Wow, that has
you
a ring
two on
to
the
it.
Court before Klay Thompson ever plays on it. Disgrace. That's what it's up there with Chase. The Thrilla in Manila,
yeah.
The Rumble in the Jungle, the Disgrace at Chase, Low versus Dibs, February 26th, as part of the free throw shooting contest that you have a chance to win on this show next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. All 5 days, we're qualifying people at 7:45 and 8:45. 10 spots to win. You come down, you hang out with us. We're doing a live show at Chase Center Wednesday, February 26th. There will be a free throw shooting contest, grand prize winner, tickets to a Warriors game. But the coup de grace, Low versus Dibs in a game to 11, losers out.
It's incredible. I can't tell you how many people. Yeah, standing room only. Thanks. Great drop in there. If that's what
told
you're
gonna, you it wasn't going to be a day of love.
If that's what you're going to bring to the court, then you may get blanked 11-0. If that's all you have to offer, straight out of the chute, standing room only. In fact, there'll be plenty of seats available, Coach, because only 20 people are there, and the arena holds some 19,000. So if that's your A number one effort, you're going to want to probably hit the floor and do a little more practicing.
Well,
my goodness.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Tell me something.
After just, you know, you're talking again and you're coming, it's too early. We haven't even started. It's not even 6:03 yet. And you went right down my lane, right down my road. You know, I don't even think you're going to score five. And the reason why I'm saying standing room only is because at the end of the day, probably standing room. But you know how those motorboats start, Joe, and then usually people just leave.
They clear out.
So there'll be plenty of seats. You're absolutely right. Because after I start whooping you, people are just going like, what we've seen enough.
Couple updates on the situation. Number one. From Vegas. Apparently, I set a bad number yesterday. I came out yesterday. I was racking my brain. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I told Dibs this morning. I felt a lot of anxiety over the second half of the show that I had to set this point spread. I'm not kidding. I was, man, I want to get this number right. Yeah,
I also
don't want to be insulting. Right. I gotta find a way to balance the action. This is my wheelhouse. I got to do this right. And I sent the number out there at low minus 3.5, one-on-one, game to 11. Dibs was disgusted. I felt very bad, but I couldn't take the emotions into it. I couldn't. If he's upset, I can't make an adjustment because of that. I had to try to balance the action.
Right.
And as soon as I hung the number, as they say, as soon as I hung it, Dibs' money came pouring in.
It did?
It's down to 2.5. It's low minus 2.5. We've moved the number. I had to move the number a full point. I hung a bad number. The sharps bet right into me. I'm down to low minus 2.5.
I saw in my Twitter feed the mentions, people coming in, give me 100, give me a grand, give me this, give me Dibs in the points, Dibs in the points. Then I go out in the world yesterday, Lo, and I'm talking to the billions. You
out
know?
In the world.
Because I'm out there at the tire shop. Shout out Wheelworks, the good people at Wheelworks.
You didn't change your own tire?
God, no. You kidding me? You see these hands? How do you think I keep these hands so
baby soft? He's got a game to prepare for.
Yeah. And by the way, I jammed my finger in volleyball practice, so we can go ahead and add that to the injury list. But
which finger?
Oh, the index.
On the left?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and you know, I'm amphibious, so I need all 10 of my digits.
You can go either way. You'll be fine.
I'm out there in the world and talking to people at the tire shop, and
right.
One person's like, Lowe's got no chance. And then the next person's like, dude, you're going to get crushed. I talked to probably 50 people yesterday.
Yeah. Legitimately, you think you talked to about 50 people?
Probably 50 people.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody asking me about my take on the Astros.
Right.
Nobody wanted to talk about the Warriors in the lottery or the Giants and pitchers and catchers. Everyone wants to talk about Low versus
Dibs. No one wants to talk about the Houston Astros.
I promise you,
yesterday.
25 people say, I'm going to dominate 25 people say I'm going to get motorboated. It is fascinating out there.
Speaking of the Astros, I see people are already lighting it up. We're getting to that at 6:15. 888-957-9570. Sign stealing, Major League Baseball, the scandal yesterday. All that stuff is on deck for the day. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. He does radio in Houston on the Astros flagship. He's at Ground Zero. He's going to jump on at 8:30 this morning. John Heyman, the Say Hey writer. John Heyman. That's terrible. I retract that. John Heyman at 9:05 this morning. He'll join us as well. So those are two things to keep in mind. But I do still want to focus on the low versus dip scenario for a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Because the early people did not hear this yesterday. This was not a plan.
Yeah.
We were not planning on talking about this. You two started screaming at each other, and it's on. It's absolutely on. I was speaking with our good friend Bob Myers throughout the course of yesterday. Myers is going to join the show week of. He's going to come on with full analysis week of. He said he's happy to help in any way that he can. So we've got him on board for it.
Bobby's weighing in.
We're going to reach out. He said he personally feels that there needs to be a defibrillator there. If I read directly from Myers' text, which I'll bring up later.
Yeah.
A defibrillator, medical personnel. He's not very confident in the current athletic state of the combatants, so to speak.
Wow.
Which brings me to one of my big questions. After this all went down yesterday, did either one of you put together like a training program or get some practice in? Did you do anything? Did you go home, take a nap? How'd it play out?
I went home and took a nap.
So you're really not all that worried here.
No,
in the wake of the Tyson Douglas anniversary from the other day, not putting a whole lot of effort in.
That's exactly what this could shape up to be. That's the odds. I think the odds should be
great. Tyson and he's 42-1.
Yes, and and it should probably even be higher. I know he went and shot some basketball. He's like, I got to go shoot some hoops. He was thinking about it yesterday, and he said he's going to do some stuff with his kids because he plays volleyball and they're on the basketball court when they practice. So. Hopefully he got some shots because he needs to.
Are you planning on getting any work in? Are you going to do any cardio, any dieting, any carb loading?
I work out anyway, you know, in the morning. You know, I always get it in. I get my little workout in. So I don't think if I'm going to change for a guy who's not an athlete, honestly, a guy who's just, which, yeah, he's a coach and, yeah, he's played some sports. But if I'm going to train for this, shame on me. I mean, realistically,
as a former athlete who prides himself, who enjoys working out, if you're not already ready for this, for you don't even deserve to be out there.
I don't. And that's
an interesting opinion.
It's just where I'm at.
It's bold. It's bold. Because honestly,
how do you feel when you hear that?
I'm delighted because when I think about Lorenzo Neal, I think about an elite football player, an unbelievably physical specimen, a great wrestler, but I don't think about basketball. And then you look at the body, you see the short arms, you see the too much muscularity in the upper body. We're not even to the grilled cheese yet.
Okay.
The grilled cheese will play no role in me going by you. I'll go by you on the left. I'll go by you on the right. It'll be like Sierra with the 1-2 step. Let me see your 1-2 step. And as big as you are, and as much as you're going to back me down and take me into deep water and yak them in drawers, Please. There's nothing you can do to get prepared for the onslaught of strawberry goodness that's coming your way.
You know the crazy thing? And that's what I love. I love that he's really believing this. The crazy thing about this, Joe, is I can shuffle faster than he can run 10 yards. And I'll make that bet. That's how slow he is. And that's why this is a joke. I honestly swam
this
yesterday.
Crazy.
And I'm like,
we might need to get him involved.
We do.
Show you guys how to get a shot up.
For this is to even be sitting here, to be having this much gravitas, be having this much weight that you're letting, it's absolutely absurd.
In-laws are in town. They're here for a few more weeks. They want to come. They were hitting me up yesterday.
Really?
They heard.
No way.
They want to know how they get in. The wife was not, she's nonplussed.
No, Nikki's
she wasn't
coming.
All that thrilled about the whole thing.
No, you tell Nikki, Nikki, you better be there. And support
I told her, I was
Lola.
Like, you got to bring the boys. I want them to see this. They might have the chance to get on the court. It'd be really awesome. And she was, wait, what is this? What are you talking about? Okay, so I have some real things I need to talk to you about. And then it's like into appointments and all this. And it's like, well, there goes the fun on that.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Valentine's Day dinner.
God.
Very, very excited, but I'm excited personally. I know Guru's excited. Tokyo Jim Cozumore, good friend, weighing in via some plane he was on yesterday.
You should see it, bud.
Fake news. You should see this fool.
Seriously?
He's on a plane. He's flying to Nashville. He's in Nashville now. Oh. Him and his beautiful wife.
Yeah.
God bless her. Let me establish that right out of the
gate. She's a saint.
He takes a picture. She's in the window seat. He's next to her. He takes the picture. It's on a bit of an angle. And he says, see, I'm riding in the middle seat talking about how man of the people, all this stuff. It's fake news. It's a two-seat row. You know those two-seat rows. That's what he's on the aisle. But he's got the angle. So he's trying a classic a classic a rope-a-dope here.
And
classic
tell media rope-a-dope. Tell Lo what he has in his pocket. This is my favorite part.
In his pocket. Now, remember,
not a pocket square.
Successful wife next to him. They're going to Nashville to take some time off. A plastic fork and knife. Those are facts.
Are you true?
Those are facts. We'll get into that. We'll get into more on that. Lo versus Dibs, February 26th. The disgrace at Chase is what it has been dubbed. Your chance to win an entry into the free throw contest that will take place alongside of it next week, Monday through Friday, each day, 7:45 and 8:45. Hey, nice guy, Stephen Langford. What's up with the Warriors?
Holla.
What's up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. We are coming up on the All-Star weekend, but we do have an update on Stephen Curry. He's been ramping up his conditioning with 5-on-0 transition drills and hopes to make a return by next month. And if you don't have any Valentine's plans, make sure to catch Eric Paschal tonight on Team USA in the 2020 Rising Stars game. Back to you guys.
You got Valentine's plans?
Absolutely not. I didn't even know. I literally 10 seconds before the pregame show started, I realized it's Valentine's Day by looking at the date.
You gotta be kidding me. Tonight's a big night for single people. Tonight's a big night. If you're single, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night you want to get out there. Everybody's
absolutely
lonely.
Absolutely
people like
not.
You, both sexes, all shapes and sizes, everyone lonely that they don't have a date on Valentine's Day. Go out and meet somebody. Don't take your headset off. I'm talking to you. Guy completely disregarding what I'm saying. I'm trying to give him great life advice. Couldn't care less. All right. Phone lines are already juiced. The Astros scandal. Terrific, terrific PR yesterday. Couldn't have seen it going any better for Houston in the wake of a huge scandal. We got the audio for you next. I'm being facetious. It was a nightmare. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
Just three idiots in a room talking to each other with headphones on.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know me, I'm tough to give out the compliments. I give you plenty. Call us up, 888-957-9570. This guy will take you out.
The love lines are open.
And he's smiling right now. Look at Steven.
Look at Joe, you, Dave.
That was nice, Joe. You are showing some love.
He doesn't.
Get your feet off the desk.
Steven, you are looking good, buddy. You're nice, good-looking young man. You're just fat young guy, that's all. But fat, skinny young guy, but you... Very good-looking guy.
He's actually not fat. He's very lean, very in shape. Don't let Lo is... He's not fat. Come on. Do you know what fat is?
Stand up, Steven. And lift up your belly.
Don't do that.
Shake it.
Stay positive.
Okay.
Stay positive. I got old man Valentine's Day plans for tonight.
Oh, yeah.
If you're single, you got to get out tonight. Tonight's the big night. Everyone's feeling a little bit down if you're single. Go out. Have a good time. Mix it up with the people. People helping people. Mm. No strings attached. That's what we're declaring today. No strings attached day out there. Have some fun. Be responsible, but have some fun with one another. Don't carry any guilt with it. Have a good time. Nice guy, I'm looking at you. You should be leading this charge.
You should, Steven.
John Curley, you just moved in with your girlfriend. That's a terrible mistake, but that's a story for another day.
She already wants him out. Don't worry.
Give you your therapy session at some point down the road. All right. Let's start with this. So the Houston Astros, this clown parade is just riveting. These fools had about a month to prepare to go out before they met the media. Owner Jim Crane, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, all of them. They all had about a month to get organized. And yesterday they met the media in Arizona, and it probably it always could go worse, but I mean, this was about as close as it got. Let's start with owner Jim Crane talking about whether or not the cheating actually had an impact.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Did impact the game, according to Crane. Thankfully, the reporters were on their game yesterday, and there were follow-ups.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically,
yes, you did, Jim.
You know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
So let's begin with that because there's a lot to sort through today. I know you came in hot with all of this. You hear that. Did it impact the owner? He's had a month to prepare on this. He's telling you it didn't impact the game. The follow-up is, did you say it didn't impact the game? His response, I didn't say that.
Right.
And then also goes in to explain a whole lot of reasons why it didn't impact the game.
Pinocchio was a great motivational speaker. That's my, that commercial, you know.
That commercial's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It is. Oh, you're great.
I see a lot of potential in this room.
So there you go. I mean, it's funny. It's laughable. I think it's great that they gave us some great laughable material, and it's funny. It's hilarious. It's not even sad. It's funny. It's pathetic. And you just think the organization would be buttoned up more in that. Look, you come out, you listen to him. He goes, oh, we just feel that it didn't impact the game. Less than two minutes, he recanted the statement that it did affect the game. So, God, we're going to lie. Hold it for more than a minute or 2 minutes.
Stick by your guns, buddy.
Stick by it. I just think that they just missed this. You had all this time to prepare. You say, you know what? This organization, we got a black eye. And it's going to take a lot for us to come out of this. What we did is wrong. We can never, it's not enough words that we can say. We got to show you with actions. The game has to change, and we need to be at the forefront of that to say what we're going to do different. Poor little Dusty was sitting up there looking dusty, and they just had him up there for what?
Why is he up there talking? He's the only one who didn't have anything to do with this. They're putting him out there. Get Dusty Baker out there to address Dusty, it. I'm going to want another $1 million.
That's the very reason they hired him, though, is because he's a guy who's beyond reproach, and he's got the gravitas, and so you put him out there, and he can't answer any questions because he wasn't there, but he's at least a respected face.
Right. If I was Dusty, I'm like, hey, you guys handle this?
I'll see you in Arizona.
Yeah.
You go ahead and you do you.
Yes.
And unless I'm getting a ring and credit for that 2017 World Series, I'll see you out there opening day.
Right.
I mean, Jim
We're
Crane.
We're going to go with Verlander.
For Crane to come out and say that, you know, didn't impact the game. And like you say, immediately recant it moments later. It's embarrassing. And I think this is a terrible reflection on the commissioner, Rob Manfred, who ultimately, for me, is the guy who should be responsible for a lot of this because they tried to sweep it under the rug. They've been punished. The investigation has concluded this and that. The investigation's far from over as far as what other teams were involved, whether or not they actually did use buzzers. There's so much more that we need to unturn that for him to come out and not fully apologize, it's embarrassing.
For them to even assert that that what they were doing had no impact, I'm just going to, again, give you Jose Altuve's playoff splits. Excuse me. Home versus road during the 2017 title run. At home in the playoffs, where they were cheating, he hit .472. On the road, he hit .143. Okay, maybe he just, you know, had some really good cuts when he was at the plate at home. Maybe the ballpark really fits his eye, like they say in golf, if you have a course that fits your eye. His OPS on the road was .497. At home, .1541. That's Bonzian. That's above Bonzian is what that is playing at home. 17 hits to 5, 6 homers to 1, 12 RBIs to 2. That's not a fluke. That's not a small sample. At home, he dominated because of the cheating helping him. On the road, he didn't play as well because he didn't have the cheating to aid him. Carlos Correa, if we thought it was isolated to just one guy. .371 at home, .211 batting average on the road. 3 homers on the road, 2 at home. 3 at home, 2 on the road. And then his OPS, .1164 versus .626. The numbers are doubled and tripled, home versus road. Paul, you called us right out of the gate today, Paul from San Jose. You've been patient. You've been on hold. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts on what's going on in Houston.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, what's up with you? How you doing? Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Hey, I've got a question. How come the Major League Baseball doesn't do like football does, where the catcher or the pitcher have to wear an earpiece so then nothing ever happens? They don't steal signs or anything like that.
Interesting.
And then I have one more question. If the same thing happened to like Bill Belichick in football, why didn't he get canned or fired for stealing plays for football a couple of years, like about, what was it, 5 years ago?
Yeah. Okay, so two excellent points. I'll start with Belichick. He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Probably not going to fire him. And they didn't have to fire him. Crane didn't have to fire these guys, but it was the right decision. But I'll throw that out there. I mean, if you're Kraft, it's, you know, you're probably going to wait that one out until they force you.
And it's a different situation in the NFL because the commissioner works for the owners. So if you're Bob Kraft and you're maybe, what, the second most powerful owner in all of football, you have enough gravitas to tell the commissioner, look, we're going to handle this in-house. Go ahead and fine us. do what you need to do, but we're not firing Bill Belichick. And in baseball, I don't think it's the same arrangement where the commissioner works for the owners. The commissioner works for Major League Baseball.
And then on the flip side, talking about the earpiece and whether or not you communicate without using signs, just do what they do in football, right? You'd still have a batter being able to hear the catcher, right? Like, how's the catch? And then you can come up with code words, but then they're all just going to discuss what the code words are and try to decipher. I like the idea of changing it up, take away the signs, but now you're audible. So now someone's going to be in there with FBI, sonic, super ear, electronic equipment trying to hear what's being said. You're just going to try to hack the frequencies. They'll get you. The Astros will get you one way or another.
And sign stealing in and of itself is not against the code of baseball, but you have to do it the old school way, which is look into the catcher and relay it manually. It's the use of this electronic equipment and the banging of trash cans. That's where the cheating went to a whole other level, because every team at every level of baseball, you try to steal whatever sign you can. You look at the base coach, the third base coach, and you try to see the signals he's relaying to the batter. It's the way they went about cheating that was so egregious.
Yeah, I do agree. I think that the way that people they went about it was just so egregious, and it's always been going around the stealing. And I'm for that. If you could have the third base coach or whatever the skipper have, you know, he can put something over his mouth for people who can't read his lips, and the catcher and the pitcher can hear what he's saying, and it's just numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many pitches it is, and then they don't see, that's the ball you throw. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that because then you take away a lot of other stuff, and some of these things won't happen. I just think the owner did a horrible job. I guarantee you this morning, last night, he couldn't sleep. I guarantee people called him and said, dude, dad, because he's got kids, I imagine the owner, they said, dad, you blew that one. No, honest, I'm telling you, he was so bad on
if
that
if you're getting
one.
Grilled over your use of Instagram, he's getting grilled from his kids over that.
Oh, no question. He's getting grilled. His family, friends are like, dude, man, did the media people? I would fire.
That's what you came up with after a month, huh? That's what 1 month of prep got you.
I would fire everyone. If I'm the owner, and if this is the talking note you gave me, everyone should be fired.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers. We have more sensational audio. Jim Crane, he's going to reach out to the Dodgers. Don't worry, he's going to take care of everything, and it's not going to happen again on his watch. So rest easy, Major League Baseball. The Astros will not be trying to pull this off again. We'll take your calls as well. 888-957-9570. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the Bay Area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. How do I see loudest when the word is location? Very odd. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Noah said boom, just not cheer him. It's a big difference, Fortenbaugh.
On 95.7, The Game.
I got to ask you something. I didn't ask you off the air. I'm going to ask you now. A lot of people asking if they wanted to call in at a certain time today. What do you think about bringing back Low on Love, if they had some questions?
I'd love to. I'd absolutely love to. Low on Love, I would love to.
All right. We got to find a time for that. I don't know if maybe it's we got Salisbury at 8:30, John Heyman at 9:05. Maybe 9:30-ish. Maybe 9:30-ish. I'm going to start throwing that out there. Let me know if you got a better suggestion, but I'm thinking maybe 9:30-ish today. Low on Love. The Love Doctor's in. He'll take your questions.
Let's go 9:30. We need that on the stream from 9 to 10, so
yes.
9:30.
That's really smart thinking. That's why that date is going to be powerful for whoever calls in. Man, woman, animal, no children, got to be of age. But whoever calls in, if we get a goat, an of-age goat, you're going on a date with a goat.
Yeah.
I've never felt more powerless in my life.
Wait until tonight. Could get even worse here on 95.7 The Game.
He's the gamote.
That guy. He's got a whole thing now. It's not just gamote. He's done a bunch of them. None of them make sense. It's fantastic.
It's all playing off the goat.
Yeah, there's one with an
L. He's the galote. Yeah, greatest lover of all time. The greatest whatever of all time.
Jim Crane, Astros owner. I told you there was more solid audio. This guy is the gift that keeps on giving. Hey, Jim, any chance this might happen again?
What makes you so confident in saying this will not happen on my watch?
First of all, we'll have better controls in place. I think baseball will have better controls in place. As Dusty said, the technology got very close to the dugout. That could have been part of the reason. Listen, I don't go down to the locker room very often. I'm not involved in that operation. The people I put in charge of that operation, I'll make sure that I have someone that's accountable moving forward, and we'll be checking constantly, and we'll have controls in place to make sure it doesn't happen again. And again, If I'd have known about it, I'd have done something about it. But I'm not in the locker room. I'm not down in the dugout. So it was very difficult, and I didn't know about it until November, just like you guys. So that's where we'll leave it.
I could do a four-hour show on that audio clip alone. First of all, he's talking about having people in place who will be accountable, as he makes it very clear he will not be held accountable for any of this. Also, feels like the problem solved. I really did feel pretty a lot of confidence coming from Jim Crane right there that this will not happen again.
Right, and he basically said, no more garbage cans in the dugout. That's basically what it comes down to.
You get that technology out of here.
That's right. We won't be banging trash cans anymore when a curve is coming. The technology got too close to the dugout, Lo. That really is the problem. So what we did is we moved the TV, the secret TV that we had in the hallway that we used to steal signs. That's now a little bit further back in the clubhouse, so logistically, guys can't just pop into the hallway and say, oh, the curveball is coming. Bang, 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 bang. Now it's going to be further away. So problem solved, and we're on to Cincinnati.
Don't worry about it, Oakland. No problems when you go to Houston this year. Everything will be above board. Jim Crane said so himself.
Wow, you hear Jim Crane, you listen to his comments, and just out of touch. I mean,
how did he get to a point where he had money to buy a team? What did he do? What's his background? How did this even – how did someone like that get to this point?
I wish I could tell you, Joe.
Let's go ahead and look that up.
Yeah, I just think that
get my stock out of that company.
You just have an opportunity to do the right thing, and it's still, man. I think pride. They say pride before the fall, and you look at certain situations, and yeah, do you have to go and apologize to everyone when something is done in public and you embarrass someone in public? Then yes, you need to apologize in public and do it the right way. And you know, I think he needs to. I think they just missed it. Had an opportunity to, you know, you don't got to say, oh, this is what we did and all the things. You just say, look, what we did was outrageous. What we did was egregious. What we did, there's no excuse. It's not, we pushed it too far. We went beyond the limits. We went way beyond the limits of what baseball, what it's been accustomed to. And this championship will be tarnished. Yes, we had enough talent to win the championship, but you know what? We had a sizable advantage, and it's wrong. And we're not going to let this happen again. And here are some of the things that we're going to put in place. We're taking out the TVs altogether. We're not having – we're going to make sure that we bring the right manager in. We're going to make sure that our players understand this is not the behavior that's going to be tolerated. I will have a more active role. I will make sure that we have someone that's going to police them. Because the boundaries are always going to be pushed. But you know what? Our organization, we've pushed them. We've got our black eye. We're not going to push them like everyone else. Yeah,
it seems
like they need an ombudsman.
Really?
That's what he's talking about.
They just needed somebody to say, look, this is how we're going to handle this. We're going to admit to these things. We're going to apologize. And we're going to hopefully move on. And ultimately, you made a great point when you bring up Andy Pettit. We always talk about the steroid guys and Rafael Palmeiro with the finger wag and Alex Rodriguez with the loosey-goosey era. Andy Pettit came on, and I think I showed you the press conference a couple months ago, and I know you'd seen it before, but he comes out and he says, look, I made mistakes. This is what I did. I hope you can forgive me. I'm not proud of what happened, and you got to move forward with it. And the fact that he was so transparent, he showed real emotion and real contrition. He was contrite and apologetic. And yesterday, and it wasn't just Jim Crane, and I know you have more audio to play.
Oh, we got plenty. Altuve and Bregman, they were real gems. Yeah. Can't wait to vote for them.
But none of them have come out and just said, look, this is what we did. Carlos Correa, to his point, had some great comments yesterday where he talked about apologizing, and he didn't specifically say how they went about cheating. And the fact that Jim Crane says, oh, I didn't know about it, yet teams were complaining to Major League Baseball about this, multiple teams, including the A's. How could you not have known about it?
I think you have a scenario here where their ego, their pride, and just their overall minds will not allow them to do a full-on admission. Because if you come out and you fully admit that what you did was wrong, that you did in fact do it, and that it did impact the game, you're essentially saying we're not legitimate champions. And you're taking that great moment away from you. All of them now can call themselves World Series champions after what they did in 2017. By admitting what you did, taking full responsibility, and acknowledging that it did impact the game, you're basically stripping yourself of that. I think this is a self-defense mechanism where all these guys are going to fight this at every turn. Because if Crane comes out and says, what we did, we cheated. We cheated. This is cheating. I cannot believe how bad this is, but this is cheating. I acknowledge it. We admit it. This was wrong. This impacted the game. He's essentially saying we don't deserve that World Series. And I don't think he's going to allow himself mentally to do that. None of them can. That's why everybody on earth has the exact same response to what they heard and saw yesterday. How could you be so stupid? With a month to prepare, how could you sound like such idiots? It's not as if everyone around them told them this is the right move. There were people who probably presented the let's go out, let's acknowledge all of it. Let's come completely clean. It'll be better. And they sat there and like, I can't do it. I cannot give up that World Series trophy. It doesn't matter if Major League Baseball strips you of it forever. You're taking it away from yourself. You're taking it away from your mind. And that's why they're all being so defiant, in my opinion. I think that they're really struggling to acknowledge this. If Altuve comes out and is like, man, I cheated. I 100% had an advantage. Now suddenly it's like, all right, well, you weren't actually that great and you didn't deserve that World Series. Speaking of Altuve, they trotted him out there for a grand total of 37 seconds.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night. And I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
That's it. From the guy who probably benefited more than anyone else. The guy who was rounding third, telling everyone at home, don't rip my shirt off because I probably have that buzzer underneath. Don't rip my shirt off. That's it. He doesn't even say he's sorry. They said they feel bad. They feel bad for what happened. They feel bad. I feel bad for a lot of things. Some of them don't require me to feel bad. I feel bad watching what happened in Oakland yesterday with that dude, or 2 days ago, that dude getting robbed. I feel terrible watching that. Yeah. That's what feeling bad is. How about feeling sorry?
I mean, this is where the owner, you fire everyone, man. This is where your media relationship, you fire. For the reason of just like you just said, the way that was handled. Here's the thing. You don't even have him. If I'm the owner, if I'm the media, I don't even have him up there. I have him standing up there. And have someone read a statement that's prepared. I take full responsibility of my actions. I use something that was an advantage for me that gave me a huge advantage on baseball. The pitchers and the different people that everyone that worked so hard in this game, the America's base sport, worked so hard to keep this game clean. I defouled everything about it. I'm sorry. I owe it to the fans of Houston, but I owe it to baseball because baseball is supposed to be America's sport. I come from a foreign country. I have the opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars. This game has afforded me that opportunity. What's wrong with having someone get up there and read and him just up there crying? I mean, and do like be Judas and just the one eye kiss and betray. I mean, fake it. Fake it till you make it.
I know, that's the thing. Just go up and lie. Just lie and say you're right. Man, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have cheated.
Right, even though
inside, you don't have to care.
Right, even though he don't maybe feel that way, at least say the right thing. I mean, when you just do something like this, it's just... And that's what's sad about it. It was no heart feeling in that at all.
Sean Manaea and Bob Melvin weighed in as well. My question, how come we're not hearing from more players and managers if they're so aggrieved by all of this? That's next, plus your calls. 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
I am so good at putting makeup on now. It's incredible.
On 95.7 The Game.
Great day for the singles. People unwilling to acknowledge that as much as they should. They feel like it's all, you know, everyone's trying to take advantage of each other and their bad feelings. No, get out there. Mix it up a little bit. It's a beautiful day, nice guy, Steven. He's got no plans. We're still waiting. Any females that want to call, this
He's
is not,
singing a, in my ear right
not
now,
good
Joe.
For you, by the way. We've opened the phones to literally more than a billion people, and no one's calling in wanting that date. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's tough, you know. It's tough right now. And phone lines are still open, 888-957-9570. Actually, every phone line's open on the love line for nice guy, Steven.
Low on love, back today at 9:30. Nice guy Steven probably with the first question. You'd have to imagine. Maybe just a one-on-one session.
Yeah, he was low singing in Steven. My ear in that last song. So
Endless Love.
Endless
one
Love.
One of the all-time classics.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Endless Love, yes. Thank you, Steven.
All right.
That.
So speaking of love, here's Alex Bregman of the Astros. This is heartfelt.
Thank you, Jim. I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all. I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
And that's the end. 42 seconds. I don't know about you guys. I believe them.
I was moved. I mean, you could really hear the heartfelt emotion in that.
You know what you could hear? You could hear a literal polygraph buzzing in the background. You could hear it buzzing. I'm going to point it out to you. Listen to this again. I'm going to start this. You can hear a polygraph buzzing as he's lying.
Thank you, Jim. I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all.
Nothing yet.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from
you hear that? You hear that sizzling? That's a polygraph machine literally going off as he finishes the statement about how he's sorry about the choices he and his team and his organization made. There's literally a polygraph going off alerting the world this guy's lying. As if you know, we couldn't, you don't need to be trained in CIA waterboarding tactics to understand that guy was full of it.
Does he need to pause after every three words? Is that for dramatic effect? I mean, it's a brief statement, but it's not that brief. It's like 27 words.
If you practice the statement, you wouldn't. It sounds like he never even saw this statement prior to getting it handed to him. This sounds like a guy who's reading something for the first time. We've all done that. They hand you this, hey, I need you to do this read for this company. Why didn't I get this earlier? I'd like to have read through it. It doesn't matter. You get it, you read, you biff a word, whatever. But at least, you know, as a professional, it sounds okay. This sounds like a guy who's never actually read before.
Thank you, Jim. I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all.
Brief is accurate.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made.
Was there like a gigantic comma in between every single word and he really takes commas seriously?
Or maybe it was a teleprompter, but it was in 100-point font. So it had to scroll so slowly so as to have him go three words at a time.
I am really sorry
about the choices I made.
Right.
Like, wow.
Give us an uptick. At the very least, give us something, Bregman. What are you doing out there?
But this is again the media. This was a prepared statement. I just thought that they missed this. They just totally missed on this. And, you know, baseball's going to be fine. They're going to get on this, get over it. And that's the thing about it. They know that people are still going to watch. They know that it's still going to get over. People are going to get over it over time. We'll still talk about it. But doesn't that happen in life and everything, whether – president does something, whether it's from the grocery guy at the grocery store, whether it's the next door neighbor, you know, getting some extra on the side, whatever it may be, you talk about it, and then all of a sudden it gets brushed under the rug, and we just keep moving on about our day business. This is huge for baseball. It's a huge black eye, but they know over time they're going to keep moving.
It's going to be all season long, and we all should be focused on pitchers and cheaters reporting. Pitchers and catchers. I got that wrong. I'm sorry. But instead, we're focused on this, and I was running the numbers, Joe, on Jose Altuve. He led the league four times in hits. The guy's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. There's no doubt. He's been hit by a pitch 49 times over the course of 9 seasons, roughly 6 per season. How many times do you think he gets drilled this year?
Oh, they're going to lead the league in bench clearing incidents this year. And they're not all going to be brawls because, you know, baseball, sometimes they all clear and they just talk. They're going to lead the league in that. Altuve versus Bregman, who gets hit the most, who gets thrown at the most. They're taking all the awards for that this year. How could anyone in baseball get thrown at more than Jose Altuve this season? Like, if you're going up there and you're upset at Aaron Judge or Matt Chapman or Evan Longoria, right? You could think about how you want to drill this guy. You're still not going to have the same hatred that you have for, say, Alex Bregman or Jose Altuve. Here's Sean Manaea, a starting pitcher. He spoke to the media yesterday. Take a listen.
They cheated. They've cheated the game. They've, you know, they've cheated us as players. And it's that they can't take responsibility for their actions and try to make things better. And so they're just sweeping things under the rug and doing their own thing. And to me, that just doesn't sit right.
Tweet from Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. A's manager Bob Melvin, getting yet another round of Astros questions, says Oakland had had called the league about possible cheating before Mike Fiers even threw those allegations out there. Quote from Bomel, everyone was fed up with it, he says, of numerous Houston opponents. So why didn't anything happen? Like, clearly that right there, Oakland's letting you know.
Everyone.
We knew about it. We were fed up with it. I think it was David Forst came out and said that they had notified the league that the A's were one of the teams. No surprise. They're in the division with them. They know them as well as anyone. So you figure the Angels, the Mariners, the Rangers, they're in there as well. But 12 teams had notified Major League Baseball about this, and no one did anything. And then Manfred comes out and starts handing down punishments as if he's all high and mighty on this. This is on everyone's hands. Everyone. I'm curious why you're not hearing from more players on this. A lot of guys are being asked at spring training. They're probably trying to dodge it. We asked Pavlovich yesterday, no one down here is really talking about it all that much. Okay, sure. How come more guys aren't speaking out? Like, that's what worries me. Is it the whole snitches get stitches
thing?
Yes,
it is.
Or is it the whole, I don't really want to throw rocks at that glass house because I'm also kind of living in a glass house.
It's probably both. And, Lo, you know this from pro sports more than anything. There's that certain code of, you know, what happens inside the clubhouse and what happens inside the sport stays inside the sport. The fact that Mike Fiers spoke out about it is the big reason why this actually thing continued to be a story, and actually we're getting to the bottom of the story. But he's isolated, and he's received criticism. Jessica Mendoza, ESPN commentator, called him out, and Pedro Martinez also called him out because of the code.
I think the biggest thing now is they're trying to protect the game, and that's what's unfortunate because Manai's upset. Guys are upset. A lot of guys are upset. A lot of guys do want to talk. But I guarantee there's been a gag order in the league. The coaches say, hey, look, it's over our head. The Major League has talked. The association has said, look, guys, don't leave this alone. Just make brief comments. Let's try to get past this. The sooner we can get past this, the better off the game is for a whole. So even though we know the Astros, what they did is despicable, we get that. But, guys, this is our game. This is about money. This is about TV. This is about revenue. If we come out and continue to do this and blast this, people are going to stop watching. There's going to hurt us. And then ultimately hurt your pocketbook. So I think that's the scare tactic that I've been involved. That's the scare tactic that sometimes they use. They don't want guys talking about it. Watching football, watching every sport, even when there's something going on, racial issues, anything it might be, they don't want to put them out there because you don't want people to start looking a certain way. Better when Colin Kaepernick, all these different things, when stuff happened, the league saying, the Shield saying, look, man, we can't let this, a lot of this stuff, we got to keep things in because we don't want this to destroy our game, and it's about money. And they threaten guys, hey, look, if you guys talk about it, it's going to affect your bottom dollar.
I was thinking about the concussion scandal just as you were laying that out, where obviously the league knew and players knew. You had a bunch of players who died because of CTE and all that, and it took, you know, really Junior Seau and other players to take tragic action, and then the movie comes out and all that before they even really took a hard look and started. And the NFL still hasn't been fully transparent on what's gone on and how much they've known, but at least to their point now, they've been forced to address it at a much deeper level.
What would it do? It would darn near break them.
They hired the lawyers who defended the tobacco industry. That's right. What the NFL did. They literally hired the guys who had represented big tobacco during all of those lawsuits. Those are the guys that were representing the NFL through the CTE concussion lawsuits.
They didn't want us to get any of that money. There's millions of dollars over there sitting there. I go and take these tests. I got vertebrae, neck, C5, C. And, you know, get like $1,000 a month. There are so many millions of dollars. They go in there, they'll sit there, and they'll friggin' hold these guys out. They'll make you do these tests. And at the end of the day, they're trying to look for a reason and say, oh, no, you're not that bad off. Oh, no, this can't happen. But yet and still, all that money's there. They do not want guys to have that money. And it's unfortunate. And guys know it. They know it. And it's sad.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning, happy Valentine's Day, and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, he's on the Houston Astros flagship, what is it called, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. He's going to join us at 8:30. John Heyman, MLB Insider at 9:05. Low on Love, back for one night and one night only. That's today at 9:30. Help us find nice guy Stephen Langford a date for Valentine's Day. He's dateless. I don't look at that as a negative. I look at it as a positive. All the singles should be out there tonight mixing it up. It's a guilt-free night. Free pass. Everyone have a good time. Just you know, be responsible, be smart about it, but go out there and have some fun tonight. We're talking about this Houston Astros scandal. The Astros met with the media yesterday. It went awful. It went awful. It went as bad as you could expect for someone who had a month to prepare for. You give me a month to prepare for anything, I'll go shoot three under at Pebble Beach. You give me a month to prepare. Not true, but you get my point. Like, a month to prepare statements, these guys couldn't figure anything out yesterday. Anything out. It was atrocious. And I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, and people are going to think I'm trolling them here, I love it. I literally love it. I love everything about this. I have three huge reasons. I was writing this up this morning. You know, how do I want to approach this today? Three. This is great for baseball. And as much as everyone's going to say it's a black eye, no, it is not. Baseball is being discussed on every national platform as pitchers and catchers open up. Baseball is never discussed on every national platform as pitchers and catchers open up. It's discussed locally. Colin Cowherd does not talk about baseball outside of the World Series, and he's on Fox. They have the World Series. Dan Patrick, all these dudes, every single show we put on TV is discussing this scandal right now. So number one, baseball is getting a huge push. Number two, you think the A's are going to sell some tickets March 30th? That's when the Astros come to town. First road series of the year. Everyone's going to see what happens to the Astros when they go out on the road. Guess what? They're coming to Oakland. You're welcome, A's fans. You get those three games right out of the gate. How are you going to handle the Astros? You're going to throw at them? You're going to do something? The league's going to be watching. Kudos to the ticket sales, the beer sales, and everything that's coming with that. This is not a black eye for baseball. They got through the steroid scandal. They got through the Black Sox scandal. They'll get through this. Everyone's talking about baseball, and they're going to be watching. Number two, we need villains. We need them in sports. We need them in politics. We need them in life. That's what we gravitate to. You need villains. The Yanks haven't been cutting it out lately. The Yanks are not the villains they used to be. Notre Dame, not the villains they used to be. So Alabama has to fill that role. The Patriots have to fill that role. Baseball needs villains, and everyone is unified in their hatred towards a villain. That's one thing that'll bring us all together. Dramatic, but you know what happened September 11th, way back, right? It brought the whole country together as we were unified in our hate towards somebody else. Well, from a fandom standpoint, I'm not trying to correlate the two, but here you go. Now everyone's taking shots at the Astros. We're all coming together as honest baseball fans. We feel better about ourselves because the Astros went out there and cheated. We need villains. And then number three, and this is the most important part, what's anybody going to do about it? Tell me, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, Sean Manaea? What are you going to do about it, all of you? You're going to do nothing. You're going to have your comments. You might throw a ball at a guy, but the reality is no one is doing nothing. Here's why Houston doesn't care. Here's why Houston releases these statements where they don't even apologize. 2017, they win the World Series. Here's their punishment. The manager is suspended for a year. The GM is suspended for a year. All right, fine. Someone's got to be a scapegoat. We're firing those two guys. Is that the end of the world? You just hired Dusty Baker. He's been to a World Series. Like, it's going to be okay. You're going to get a new GM. Lunau was there long enough that you figured out how he works and operates. You got his database. You got everything he has. That's not going to be that far off. You're stripped of your first and second round picks in 2020 and 2021. How many of these picks you hit on anyway? All right, so you lost four draft picks, and then you get hit with a $5 million fine. Now, let me put this in perspective. A $5 million fine, which is the max allowed. In 2017, when they won the World Series, they had nine home playoff games. Nine. They can seat 40,000, and I'm being conservative, 40,000 at Minute Maid Park. You take 40,000 seats times, let's say the average ticket price is $100 a seat, which we know it's not. It's much, much higher for the playoffs and World Series. But we'll say 40,000 seats times $100 a seat times nine playoff games. That's $36 million. That's not parking. That's not beers. That's not jersey sales. That's not increased revenue from TV, from radio, from hot dogs, from you name it. And it's a conservative number. $36 million. Texas, by the way, no state income taxes. So chew on that. There's no punishment. No one's going to do anything about this except talk about it. So for the Astros, congratulations. You're going to be the most popular draw this year everywhere you go. For baseball, you finally have people talking about you. And for society at large, you get to feel better about yourself because we get to spit all over this team of cheaters who couldn't handle it. I love everything about this because this is the perfect story for us. And guess what? 6 months from now, we're not even going to care.
And it depends on whether or not they do well this year, because that's what Josh Reddick said in his comments yesterday. If they go out and they win, then they can put all this behind them to the extent that they could show you that they won even without the help and without the cheating scandal. So for Houston, they're going to be highly motivated now to go out and try to prove that they would have won anyway. They're still a good team if they go out and win this year. What you say about the villain is absolutely right. And I think that you look at the integrity of baseball. The integrity of baseball has been through so many scandals going back to the days of Ty Cobb, through the integration of the game, the Pete Rose scandal, the steroid scandal, and on and on and on. And you're right. Baseball thrives on this, and people are going to be excited to go out there and root against the Astros this year.
I wonder, with Astros now, you just think about, are they going to be the most watched team, you know, in Major League Baseball this year? Will they sell out? You know, is that going to be a must-see baseball? What is this going to do for the ratings? And it's crazy. It's interesting. We just look at it and you bring that up. And we, even though it's as bad as we look at it and think it may be, I mean, now, like you just said, Joe's going to be intrigued to watch them, to see those guys fall, you know, see if they're going to even make it to the playoffs and what's going
to
happen.
To see if they fall or to see if they brawl. Because that A's series, it's not their first series in Oakland. So normally a Monday night game in March, you might get 10,000 fans. I think for that game, and Joe, you laid it out perfectly, when the Astros come to town, there's the intrigue of, hey, we might go out there and see, what's Manaea
going to
do when he gets
his start? I'm going to that game. I'm not going to go to the first four against the Twins because I'm probably just not going to make it over there. Opening day, perhaps, but it's the middle of the day. I'm going to have things going on. But that Monday night against Houston, the other jobs I've got to do, I'm clearing it. I'm going to that game. I want to see exactly what's going to happen in the first game when the Houston Astros hit the road. And if it was the Giants, if it was Seattle and I had the means to get there, I'd be intrigued and go in there as well. But it's going to happen in our backyard. You don't think the A's are going to benefit from this? 10,000 on a Monday night. If you're not out there and you're not interested in that, you're not a baseball fan. Because that's exactly the game you want to see this year. These guys come into town. You know how shook they're going to be? You're going to be able to go out there and try to intimidate them as much as you want. They don't want to go on the road. They don't want to go on the road. And if the first instance they get of traveling out is 11,000 fans at the crap hole Coliseum, they're going to laugh and they're going to have more confidence than you could possibly imagine. It's on A's fans to show up and show the entire league how this is going to play out.
Right.
Because if they went to New York, went to New York for their first road series, you know what the reaction would be there?
Philadelphia, you know, some of these other great cities.
Batters be thrown on the field.
No doubt. The Yanks were the direct losers in all of this from the AL perspective, and then the Dodgers in the NL. People would show up. A's fans, I mean, you've already got Manaea talking about it. This is going to be something the A's are asked about every single day. They're the first game that the Astros are going to play on
the
road.
That place is going to be
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!